Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca.
So God, I just pray for every single person in this room, myself included, that you'll give me clarity of mind, clarity of heart, clarity of wisdom, guidance, and direction, and let my words be your words tonight. And may the dream that you've placed in each and every one of us, God, that began before the beginning of time, and God, continues to move through each generation, through each person, and God, help us to realize that dream in other people, Lord, and not to pull it down, but God, to get behind it and say, I see God in you. Go for it. Go after it. Lead the charge. Go 100%. Go as hard and fast as you can because God's hand is on your life. And God, tonight I just pray there'll be people here that might realize the dream tonight or might realize where they've squished other people's dreams out. And God, for that person, Lord God, that's either listening by podcast or here tonight, Lord Jesus, Father, they've just got a pain in their neck right now. And God, it's just stress-related. God, we just pray for that in the name of Jesus Christ, that your Holy Spirit would touch it, and God, it would be gone in the name of Jesus. So Father, we give you the honor, and we give you the glory in this place as we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've kind of been doing this thing and been challenged the last two or three times I've spoke. Quite often when I speak on the heroes, right? We speak on Abraham. We speak on Joseph, we speak on Paul, we speak on Jesus. And I just really felt God, and it's kind of brought the Bible to life to me again, to take me back and just go through and say, all the people that kind of made mistakes, or all the people that kind of were on the opposite side of the fence, you know, how did God use them? How did God change their lives? How did God challenge them? How did God work in and through them? God said he created all of us in his image, and he created all of us to live. He created all of us for life. He created all of us for excellence. He created all of us for a purpose, for a reason, for something in your heart that he's put in there that's a dream that's to be fulfilled by you, and the person beside you has been created with that dream as well, with that image of God placed in them, and discover that and define it and pull it out. And we're going to look at Joseph in a few seconds here, but we're going to look at kind of from the perspective of his brothers. And what do you do when it's the person beside you that has the dream? How does that affect your life? How does that affect you? How do you respond? How do I respond when the person beside you has a dream? And are you just kind of like, yeah, whatever, forget it, not going to happen? Or are you like, you know what? God's put that dream in your heart. It's going to happen. God's going to fulfill it. God's going to work in and through you. Joseph had an interesting life. Here we go. I'm going to do this in 1 second. Not 1 second, 30 seconds. Joseph's family had some issues. He had a favorite wife. There's an issue right there, Leah and Rachel. He had a favorite son with a coat of many colors in the family that he grew up in. If you read the story of Jacob and Leah and having their, it's just like baby wars. They treated their kids like trophies. Every time they had a kid, they kind of named it. So it was like, ah, look at that. I had a kid. You didn't. There you go. That's the family he grew up in. 11 older brothers. How many had older brothers? How many had 11 older brothers? How many think 11? You had 11 older brothers? Oh, there you go. I'm going to talk to you afterwards. You're going to know a little bit of what Joseph went through, but he was the smallest. His grandfather was the beginning of the nation of God, God had called him. So quite a bit to live up to there, right? He was thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, worked into Pharaoh's palace, falsely accused and thrown in prison, interpreted dreams, rises to second in Egypt, saves his family line from starvation, and he had a dream. If you don't know the story, you need to go home and read Genesis, right? And look at the dream. We're great at realizing the dream, but sometimes it's a little harder to look at other people and say, I recognize the dream in you, and God has called you, and I'm going to cheer you on, right? And that's some of the issues his brother had. So the first one was tradition. The older one should get this, right? The pecking order is this. This is how we've always done it. The chairs have always sat in this direction in the church. They've never moved. It was funny, I spoke in Wawanisa there. I said something about the front row had 5 chairs on this side and 4 chairs on that side. And I said, who really cares how many chairs? And afterwards, they told me that it was Pastor Cal's pet peeve, that he always had to have 4 chairs on this side. And they tried to change it, but Cal said, no, it has to be 4 chairs just because the data projector's there, whatever. So anyways, we get caught up in traditions. And God's very good at working with tradition And he's very good at breaking tradition. We looked at Esau and Jacob, and God chose Jacob even before he came out of the womb. There is no rhyme nor reason, and he was younger, that kind of thing. We looked at different people, David, right? David was kind of the youngest one again, and he was kind of his father. You know, Jesse, you've got to have at least one more kid, because I don't think God's touched any of these ones, and God's anointing is on this one. And I like to think of the story that I think really brings it out in a way. If anybody's ever watched Fiddler on the Roof, tradition, right? The song, tradition, and he sings it out, and he just does. I think Joe Lisa was the guy one time over here, and he did an amazing job of it. And the father's wrestling with, this is my culture, this is my people, this is my family, this is what I believe, and this is my daughter, who I love dearly and deeply, and yet she's kind of doing things a little bit different than I did. And how do I love my daughter? And how do I hold to my tradition? And what does the tradition mean? And the problem comes when tradition just becomes tradition. You come to church on Sunday night because it's Sunday night. But there's no heart. It's what I've always done. This is where I've always sat. This is the people I've always talked to. And tradition can be good. The Christmas dinner can be good and can be excellent and can be wonderful. But Joseph's brothers kind of just held to tradition. Joseph is the youngest. He cannot have the dream. Anybody have kids? I'm guilty of this. Your kid has a dream. You're like, well, yeah, whatever. That's great. Yeah, that's cute. Wow. Right? But to sew into a five-year-old, to sew into a six-year-old, I loved doing, helping out with the hero holiday. I got to do the Bible lessons. And just sewing into those kids, you know, a hero has heart. A hero has power. A hero has passion. A hero has this stuff. And you know what? You kids are the generation. You kids are the next. You kids are called by God right now, right here in this place. And to be able to put that tradition, it's good. God works with tradition. It's good to have tradition. But God also doesn't really say, you know what? People are over tradition, right? He reaches out lots of times. And so that's the first one that I see when I look at Joseph's brothers. There is no real meaning or value, and they didn't see God in their brother Joseph because of tradition, because of their status in life, because of where they were. And the second one is emotion. Jealousy, envy, bitterness, betrayal are all emotions I think they wrestled with and struggled with, and I think we wrestle with and struggle with as well. Billy Graham said this. He said, I defy you to show me an envious man who is happy. Somebody who's looking at the other person and saying, I want what they have. You know, Cassandra is called to go to another part of the world, and I want to be called. That's no fair that she gets to be called there to go, that kind of stuff. And many times these emotions, the only reason they rise up in us is because we believe God's forgot about us. We believe God's thinking of this person. That person's got a dream. That person's got, God's forgotten about me, so I need to pull, God, look at me. God, I'm Reuben, I'm Simon, I'm Judah. And God had a plan for all of their lives, but he had a plan for Joseph too. He had a dream for Joseph too. And they let their emotions get the best of them and pull them away and bring them to the place where they walked in jealousy, envy, and bitterness and betrayal. Instead of saying, God, bless Joseph. He's got a dream. God, you can use him. God, he may be my youngest brother, and boy, do I like sitting on him, but God, you can use him too. You can honor him. Hudson Taylor had a plaque that said Ebenezer and Jehovah Jireh. The first word meant hitherto hath the Lord helped us. The second, the Lord will see to it or provide. One looked back, reminding him of God's faithfulness thus far, while the other looked forward to God's assurance for the future. God has and will take care of you. The brothers' path of emotions led them down a path to betrayal, to murder, to lying to their father, to all this kind of thing. If we let these emotions get a foothold, they can get a hold of us and they can push us, they can squash us, they can squash our dream, they can also squash in the dream of other people beside us, and they can make us think, God has forgotten about me. So tonight when we end, there's so many ways you can go with this tonight or whatever, but the part of it is God has not forgotten about you. You can support the person beside you. You can support the dream of your spouse. So many marriages break up because one person has a dream and the other one says, no, you can't. The other person has a dream and the other person says, no, you can't. You're not good enough for that. You'll never accomplish that. You'll never be that. Instead of saying, you know what? With God's help, you can do it. I believe in you. It might make mistakes along the way. It might not look pretty. It might look ugly. It might kind of be rough going or whatever for a while. But if that's on your heart to do, let's see how we can do that together. I heard Chuck Swindoll said just the other day, so many marriages break up because they can't see past one person. All they can see is how this affects me. They can't see how does it affect, how do we prefer one another? How do we honor one another? How do we lift one another up? How do we say, you know what? God's going to use you. God's called you. I'm going to follow you in that. And the last one tonight is denial. They were blind to their own faults, their foolishness, and their future. It's self-imposed straitjacket that they were unaware of. They didn't see the value in what they had. All they saw was what they needed to do to get rid of it. They didn't see the value in a brother. They didn't see the value in that person beside them. They just saw it as a problem that we need to get rid of. And they were in denial about it, so much so that they thought it was the right thing to do. They didn't say like, oh, we know it's wrong. They saw him afar off and they made a plan. They didn't say, we know it's wrong, but we're going to do it. They said, you know what? We got this option, this option, this option. And this is the right thing to do. To put Joseph, and this is the right thing to do, to lie to our father. And when we look at it, we're like, oh, that's how could they do that? How could they see it? But they'd gone so far in denial and against this dream and against who they were and sowed into bitterness and anger and jealousy and all that kind of stuff that they thought this was the right way to go. This is the right thing to say behind somebody's back, or this is the right direction, or this is the right, they thought it was the thing that they needed to do. They're like, this is the path. And they were walking down that path. And maybe some of you tonight, God's going to hit you and say, you know what? You need to stop going that direction and you need to go this other direction. Maybe all of a sudden that denial will come to the end and you'll be like, oh yeah, 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 I've been living life by tradition and not by heart. Or I've been living life by emotions that aren't encouraging other people around me. I'm living life by the wrong emotions. God, I need to harness my emotions for good. God, I need to go after the people that are around me and just say, God, I want to be used by you. I love the story. It can work on the good side as well as the bad side. But a bobsledder that goes in the Olympics and goes down the hill at the Olympics and that kind of stuff, on those crazy like little luge, I think is even more nuts when they sit on the little wee sled that there's barely anything there, right? But they get up to, I think I've written down, they get close to 100 miles an hour. 100 miles an hour. Can you imagine me giving you a little toboggan and going down the Trans-Canada there, get up to 100 miles an hour, 160, and saying, here's your toboggan, jump out the back. But all of that started with one little push off the top of the hill. All of that started with just one little, the place where people get to the denial starts with one little push of giving in to jealousy or giving in to bitterness or giving in to envy or giving in to whatever, right? And it gradually starts picking up speed. And at some point, it's just impossible to stop without God's help, without saying, God, I need to get off this ride. This is just going too far, too fast. And God, I need you to touch me. I need you to use me. I need you to work in my life. God, open our eyes. They couldn't see what they had. They had a brother. And as we finish off tonight, how do we respond? Joseph was called to stand out among his peers. He made some mistakes himself along the way, but he was walking in anointing, forgiveness, and willingness to serve, which leads to a chance to turn the page. This is what's written. Turn the page. Don't stop the story there. And some of the people that I've spoken on that kind of were the villain or were the bad side or whatever, they never changed. But I think his brothers changed. When you read the story, for Joseph, what changed for him? His perspective. And tonight I'm praying that God's going to change some of our perspectives with our church, with our family, with the kids around us, with your job. Joseph said, you know what? What they intended for evil, God, you intended for good. Changed in his family. Joseph could not hold on in his desire to reunite with his family. If you read the story, there's a spot in there where he's just wrestling. It says he says he has to leave his brothers and he goes into a side room and he weeps bitterly. He's wrestling between bitterness and anger. He's second in command in all of Egypt. And these 11 brothers are standing in front of him. He has the power to I remember the things they said. I remember they didn't believe in this dream, that they would bow down to me. Boy, are they going to bow down to me now. Boy, are they going to squirm. But on the other side, he's got love and compassion. This is family that he hasn't seen for years, right? He was sold into slavery as a younger adult, and he's like just lost, and he's just like, what do I do? Where do I go? God, all I have is you. You know, I'm falsely accused. I'm in prison. I'm laying in prison and rotting away here. And God, what is it? And I don't have my dad. I don't have my mom. I'm all alone, right? So seeing those family again, even though there's all these pent up emotions, there's also the emotion of, this is my family. These are my brothers, right, that I haven't seen for a long time. And he's just fighting it. It says he went and I think the Bible translation says they went and he wept bitterly. Not just like I'm kind of tearing a little bit. He was like just gut-wrenching tears, right? He was just hurting. He was going through. The power of forgiveness. A nation is saved and a family is healed. A dream is fulfilled. Joseph realizes that they could steal his coat, but they could not steal his favor and his dream. The attitude of his brothers, I believe they had changed as well. Joseph tests them. First of all, Simon's taken prisoner, but then Joseph tests them. He says, you know what? He gives them money in their sacks and lets them go home, and then he catches them like that, and then he puts his cup in there and he brings them back, and he says, I'm going to keep Benjamin. So Rachel had the two sons, Joseph and Benjamin, right? So Benjamin was the other youngest son who was from the Rachel in the family. And his father had very reluctantly let Benjamin go. And Joseph had said, unless you bring Benjamin, I'm not going to believe your story. And he very reluctantly let him go. And when Joseph says, I'm going to keep Benjamin, it's all of a sudden the same situation, right? I can get off scot-free if I just sacrifice Benjamin, right? If I just wipe Benjamin under the rug. You know, it doesn't really matter about dad. You know, he didn't miss Joseph after 5 years, hasn't talked about him or whatever, right? And we got away with that. Now we can get away with this too, and we can go scot-free. We're out of here. Because Joseph is saying, we're going to keep you all in prison. And then he's like, no, you can go, but I'm just going to keep Benjamin. You guys are free. You can go. But something had changed in their heart. Judas said, no. No, it'll break my father's heart. Don't do it. I love my dad. I saw his heart broken once. Take me. Sacrifice me. All of a sudden, he said, you know what? I will give my life for the life of Benjamin. I will give my life for my brother. I will give my life so my father doesn't have to go through that gut-wrenching pain again. And something had changed in their heart, whereas the first time they were like, that's the right thing to do. Yeah, let's just, can you imagine making the coat all covered in blood and killing an animal and bringing it back to your dad and saying, Dad, we found this and Joseph, your son, is dead. It takes a little bit of jaded, a little bit of hard-heartedness, right, to do that to your father. There was a difference. So what makes a dream? Helen Keller said this. She said, the only truly happy people are people who have found a cause bigger than themselves to live in, to live for. When you see the dream in the person beside you, the only truly happy people, she was blind and got a bachelor's. I'm guessing everyone knows who Helen Keller is. Charles Lindbergh flew across the ocean, said, we actually live today in our dreams of yesterday. And in living those dreams, we live again. I'm going to get the worship team to come back in a few minutes. We're going to just spend some time in worship and spend some time in prayer. And part of Sunday nights has been to refocus on not spending quite as long speaking, not spending quite as long in worship at the beginning, and just giving people an opportunity to come together and just to worship and to spend some time in prayer tonight and have that time to focus on and to be challenged to spend some time with God and be challenged to, I'm going to show you one more video in a few seconds, to dream again and to let the person beside you dream again, and to let Bethel dream again. What does it look like in this generation? What does it look like for the next generation? What does it look like 10 years from now, 5 years from now? What does it look like 50 years from now? And that dream is bigger than us. That dream has been around before probably all of us were alive. I'm not too sure. I think we're pushing 100 years. So not too many of us were around at the very first service they had as Bethel Christian Assembly, right? But God's vision in this song that we're going to sing was to 1,000 generations. It began way before us and goes along way after us. I'll say a couple other things, and then I'm going to challenge you to spend some time together looking for and rediscovering the dream in you, but also rediscovering the dream that God has for a bigger picture and for the person beside you. And say, God, I want to step out of tradition. I want to step out of, this is the way we always have done it. This is the only way that it can be done. It can't be done like that. I could tell you stories of people that I've met that, I think one of the craziest ones, how God can work. I know one guy who does, he lives totally in a different country now, but it was his birthday, so he went to the bar to get a stripper to celebrate his birthday. And ended up talking to this girl who ended up getting saved. And he never did anything wrong. But his intent was to go to tradition, right? I mean, how can God use that? You got Jonah going to Nineveh, going to the Jews, God, are your people. Why should you go to Nineveh, right? But God just works outside of tradition. About 30 seconds, I'm going to challenge you to get up and to move. What is a dream? It's bigger than yourself. It's God-breathed and it's others-focused. Hebrews 12:1 says, now faith is the evidence of things hoped for and the substance of things seen. Faith is a dream. Recognize it in yourself and recognize it in others. Faith. Believe. Don't get stuck on tradition. Don't get stuck on emotions. Don't get stuck on just living the way you've always lived. Don't get stuck on denial and going down the wrong road. I want you just to bow your heads and just close your eyes for a few seconds. And if you're saying, God, tonight, I want to chase that dream in me, and God, I want to chase that dream in others. I want to see it in other people and I want to lift it up before you. Then in a few seconds, I'm just going to count to three. And when I get to three, I want you to stand up and come to the front. And we're going to sing this song together that says, God, your dream is bigger than every generation. God, your dream is bigger than my dream. But God, I want my dream to fit into yours. And then we're going to take some time after that. And if you want to leave, you're welcome to leave. But if you want to stay, we're going to take some time. And I'm just going to come around and pray for people that God would take the dream in you and bring it to life. That if, like Joseph, people have come around you and because of tradition have said, well, you can't do it that way, that God would open the door and say, you know what? It can be done. That God would touch your life, and if emotions have got a hold of you or people around you have been jealous of your dream or angry or bitter or that kind of stuff, that God would just cut that off and say, you know what? That dream lives. And if you've come to a place where you're walking in denial and you're doing things wrong, that you've kind of started to justify and say, well, that's the right thing to do. That's what everybody does. That's how it should go. That God would bring you to your senses. And just like Joseph's brothers, they would realize what you have. You have a dream from God. He's called you to greatness, to awesomeness, to power, to authority. So if you're saying tonight, God, I want to follow the dream, and God, I want to be a dream chaser in myself and in others, then I want you to make a decision in your heart right now and say, God, that's me. God, if I'm the only person that gets up and goes to the front, I've already made my decision. When Pastor Glenn gets to three, I'm going. If everybody moves, God, I'm moving. And you're just saying tonight, God, I want to spend some time with you and hear your dream for our church. Pray for our church. Pray for people to come in who are lost. Pray for people whose lives to be changed, to be touched by God. So if that's you tonight and God's tugging on your heart, one, two, three, just get up and move and come to the front. In a few seconds, we're going to sing this song all together and they're going to lead us in worship. And then after that, they're going to play some more worship and just be a little bit quieter so that you can spend time in prayer in this place. And we're just saying, God, the dream, build the dream. Go after the dream. God, Bethel Christian Assembly is not just this box. It's a living, breathing church. It's people. It's not tradition. We've done it. God can change. God does. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I don't know how he does it, but he works with tradition, but he works outside of tradition too.
Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at BethelBrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook.